As a traveler, it's a fact you're going to need to manage your spending in different currencies. You need a service that not only helps you send, spend, and receive in different currencies fast, but also does it without the hidden fees or exchange rate markups. This is where Wise comes in. Wise is the easiest way to connect all of your finances internationally. I've been a customer for over a decade. It's been a lifesaver for me as a traveler, a nomad, and now a permanent resident abroad. If you're a traveler who's still using your regular bank, you need to check this out. Join 16 million customers and learn how the Wise account could work for you by downloading the app or visiting wise.com/travel. That's wise.com/travel. Thank you to Wise for supporting today's show. This episode of Zero to Travel is brought to you by the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder with 7 drive modes. The Pathfinder's available intelligent 4x4 is built for even the most epic journeys. Learn more at nissanusa.com.
We often give up this state of playfulness because we want to make everyone else happy instead of ourselves. And this way of being in the world can actually help us a lot and be more creative and figure out stuff. The trip taught me that I can't plan too long ahead. I have to play with whatever comes my way.
That is today's guest, Ingrid Alm, sharing one of the many valuable lessons she shares in this conversation today about her trip, starting from her doorstep in Oslo, Norway, all the way to the Nordkap, which is 2,000 miles away. If you don't know what the Nordkap is, it is the northernmost point in Europe that you can get to with a car. Basically, after that is the North Pole. And she did this trip with her husband, her dog, and her 4-year-old son, all human-powered, skiing, walking, cycling, rowing, and so on. And she shares a lot of the advice and lessons learned, not just on the trip itself and how to plan for something like this, this type of adventure, but also the genesis of it, how to make big changes in life. You know, travel and life here, it all goes together. It's travel, but it's life. And you're going to get plenty of takeaways in this conversation. And it's coming at you right now. So buckle up, strap in. Thanks for being here. And welcome to the Zero to Travel podcast, my friend.
You're listening to the Zero to Travel podcast, where we explore exciting travel-based work, lifestyle, and business opportunities, helping you to achieve your wildest travel dreams. And now your host, world wanderer and travel junkie, Jason Moore.
Hey, what's up? It's Jason here with ZeroToTravel.com. Welcome to the show. Thanks for hanging out, letting me bring a little travel into your ears today. This is the show to help you travel the world on your terms to fill your life with as much travel as you desire, no matter what your situation or experience. And filling your life with travel is really about filling your life with something you love to do. All of us here in this community, we love travel. That's one of the things. But, you know, whatever you love in life, you want to fill your life with it. And, you know, when it comes down to it, an adventure like we're talking about today that Ingrid took with her family, it is about changing your life in many ways, overcoming perhaps some limiting cultural constructs, something we talk about, overcoming perhaps unsupportive messaging you're getting from around you, going all in on something, and being playful with it. You heard her use the word playful in that clip at the top of the show. So much going on in this conversation, not just the adventure, but all the life stuff around it. I think that it's a valuable one. This was recorded, by the way, in person downtown in Oslo at a cafe. So if you hear some ambient noise, just soak up the vibes of a cafe in Norway. I just wanted to give you a heads up on that. And stick around on the back end. I'll pull out one thing Ingrid said in this conversation that I thought was a really powerful reframe if you're somebody who's struggling to put yourself out there, as they say, in some way. And I'll leave you with a quote as well. Stick around for all that. For now, please enjoy my conversation with the wonderful Ingrid Alm. And I will see you on the other side, my friend. Cheers. I don't want to miss any of your story, Ingrid.
Oh, thank you.
This is incredible. It's not every day I get to do an in-person chat with an adventurer like yourself. So thanks for agreeing to do this.
Thank you for inviting me. It's a huge honor.
I should formally say, Ingrid Alm, welcome to the Zero to Travel podcast, my friend. That's how we welcome our guests. So,
thank you so much.
I've got your book right in front of me, and I saw it in the travel store. You know, us travelers, we like to wander into travel stores and just like daydream. And
yeah, kind of, that's the best part.
Yeah, think about the things we're going to do maybe or get inspired.
Yeah.
It's in Norwegian, but I'll translate. You walked with your family on foot from, well, and various other modes of transport, which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
From Oslo to the Nordkapp.
Yeah.
With a four-year-old.
Yeah.
And your dog.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is somebody I need to talk to. Because at the time, actually, when I bought this, my son was four. He's five now.
Oh, cool.
If he's listening now and it's later in life, like, Oscar, I love you. But you were like a maniac when you were four. I'm like, how did you do a 2,000 plus kilometer adventure with a four-year-old? I'm sure you get this question all the time, but we're going to get into it. So anyway, congratulations.
Thank you.
You said, you know, we were sitting down and are like, oh, I can't wait to ask you questions about this book. But you're like, oh yeah, now I'm like going all in on this author thing. And we just got back from this other trip that I'm writing about. So I'm like, okay, I know nothing about this other trip. I'm like, don't tell me. Let's hear it now. What did you do recently?
We attempted to walk the PCT from north to south.
You did?
Yeah.
That's an intense hiking trail, the Pacific Crest Trail.
Yeah, it was kind of steep.
It's probably the hardest of the three, maybe.
Yeah. So it didn't go as planned this time either. And there was so much snow this year, like 18 meters. And
yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we started on skis. And there was no, like, the terrain is so different than the Norwegian terrain.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a shock. But we attempted a couple of stretches and had to adapt because it didn't work out as we planned.
Yeah.
So we also hiked the Oregon Coast Trail and then did bits of the PCT, like a part in Yosemite. And yeah.
Wow. So how far did you make it?
Altogether, it was like 750 kilometers.
I mean, that's pretty impressive.
So
was it with your son again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the dog this time because he can get eaten by bears.
Yeah, right. Too hard to bring the dog to the States. But
yeah.
Wow. Okay. Did you start from the south? And
We started up by Seattle.
Yeah, okay.
Because my husband got family there.
Yeah.
And the plan was to hike from Seattle down to San Francisco. Because my husband and I met in Berkeley when we studied.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's kind of like going back to the where it all started kind of trip.
Yeah.
So that was the idea. So, yeah.
Okay. What were you studying there? How did you guys meet?
He is an engineer, so I don't remember his classes. I think it was something about astronomy. And I studied like special needs.
Yeah.
Is that the word? Yeah. Sociology, yeah. Mm-hmm.
For kids, yeah. And where did you meet?
At Berkeley.
Just like at class or, walking on the...
Actually, I think we had some common friends on Facebook and I saw that he was there and I was like, should we meet up? And he had a party and we had a party and invited him over. And
he's Norwegian, you're Norwegian. So you guys were like two Norwegians in California and we're like, what's up with all these Americans? They're crazy.
My mom is so relieved when I told her that I met a guy and he was Norwegian.
It's funny you say that because my daughter, she wants to go to Australia.
Oh.
And I said to my wife, we better get her there before she's like 18 or 20 or whatever and goes on her own because she'll probably meet an Australian and she'll be living like miles away and we'll never see her again.
Falling in love abroad. Yeah.
Yeah. So I can understand, as a parent, I can understand that relief. Now, I'm the kid who went AWIRE, right? Like I moved abroad, so that can happen. But what did you think of the American college experience? Compared to...
It was like the movies.
It was it? Yeah. The red solo cups and everything?
Yeah. Chug, chug, chug.
Beer pong. And,
A lot of weed. It was so weird for Norwegians.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was awesome. And I love the culture there and the people I met. And it was... I think it's... I love a lot of things about Norway, but we can be a bit too, I don't know, square. I like that there's...
I didn't say it.
So I love that there's more colors and people show more emotions. I'm more outgoing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of good things about it.
All right. You grew up here. So why is that?
I think we have this thing called Janteloven.
Yeah. Talked about it on the show for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're not supposed to take up too much room. We're supposed to be not too outgoing, not too pushy.
Why?
I don't know. It's weird. I think it's just a bad thing about the culture, and I hope it changes. But
yeah.
Because I think when you first get to know a Norwegian, we can be pretty fun, but it takes
absolutely
a while.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're traveling here and you notice that, it's not just you, right?
No, I'm
talking to the listener. I wonder, as an American,
yeah,
raising two kids in Norway, how much the, you know, this is the nature versus nurture, the eternal question, right? Like, how much is the environment and the schools and society and things and the Jantelova in this case or whatever going to impact their attitude versus, you know, modeling how we live? Or, you know, you guys are obviously inspiring your son by just living the way you do, going on these adventures and walking the walk, let's say, quite literally in this case.
Yeah,
I don't know the answer to that question. You know, there is value in all, in a lot of these societal constructs, I think, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you look at Jantelova, that what you, as you described it, like this idea you're not supposed to stand out too much and things like that. But then you see, like, you know, the Norwegian sports teams, how they can cooperate with each other and
yeah,
you know, dominate in the winter sports. And I know it's because there's a lot of snow here and we're around winter. But I also think that maybe perhaps there's some element of that attitude, the kind of like,
yeah,
let's work together.
Yeah.
That
I think
helps.
Yeah. I think you're onto something. And I think, yeah, the benefits is that we take care of each other and it's not that much of a competition, maybe.
Yeah.
Fellowship kind of makes you stand in, not out, but that's a good thing and a bad thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's something about our relationship to emotions, that some emotions are okay and some are not, and we're not used to all the emotions, maybe. But if you go far north, there's a different culture where the northern Norwegians are more like outgoing, they show a bit more anger and attitude, kind of. Mm.
A little more sassy.
And swears a lot. And yeah, they're a bit more fun. And maybe around Oslo, we're a bit more, I don't know, eager to fit in and
yeah,
be sensible and plan ahead and always do the right thing.
Yeah. I think you said somewhere in this book that you are somebody that you feel like you're pretty in tune with the emotions. You mentioned the word emotions. And of course, working with special needs kids and things like that, that's part of the job.
Yeah.
So I think you're coming at this from a unique perspective in that sense. We were talking before we started recording a bit, and you were saying that you're going all in on, you know, going for the writing career and being an author. This is always what perplexes me about the Jantelova in this case, right? It's like any of these societies that want to repress self-expression in some way. Maybe that's being dramatic, but you know what I'm saying. Yet, like, in order to go for a career as an author or be a musician or something, you have to put yourself out there. You have to be willing to transcend the Jantelova, in this case, attitude.
Yeah.
And so has that been a struggle for you?
Yeah.
Or it has?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was so hard to just open an Instagram page, and I thought it was so hard to write something. And I think a part of my culture is like, if you write something public, you're just doing it for attention. Yeah. It's not from this playful point of view when you want to create and want to share something. And a friend of mine wrote something about not sharing your art is selfish. And I think that's a good perspective we Norwegian can learn from. Like, if you hold it all to yourself, no one gets to see it or gets to know you. And it just gets more narrow and square for everybody else as well if you don't show who you really are, right?
You can't make an impact.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, this book made an impact on me when I saw it.
Yeah,
I was
that's
really inspiring.
Yeah.
This is really cool. And if you didn't do this and then put it out, somebody listening, they might not live, of course, in the Norwegian or Jantelova society, as you described it, but they might have their own inner circle that's the same way, right? Like,
yeah,
they might be part of a family or a friend circle that it's not encouraged to like stand out or like, you know, hey, we're, you know,
yeah,
stop trying to be somebody and, you know, this is who we are, or, you know, we're poor, we're never going to be rich, or we're going to, you know, whatever, insert whatever.
Yeah, there's some rules there, right?
Yeah.
And if you stand out, you're kind of telling them that they're doing it wrong, but
right,
that's not the case, right?
Right.
You're just doing what you want to do and what feels right.
Yeah. Did you just have to kind of be uncomfortable for a while until you got used to it?
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been uncomfortable a lot the last years. But I think that's a good thing. And I think that's where I grow. And working with the psychologists and other professions that care about emotions, you kind of get, they dare you to do it, right? They encourage you to follow your true calling or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Right, right.
Yeah.
But it's not always easy to do it in practice, like no. having to walk in and say, I'm leaving this job and I'm actually...
Yeah.
Going to do this thing and I don't know. I don't have a steady paycheck anymore.
It's really scary. For me, it helps to like put on my playfulness. Like when I was a child, everything wasn't that serious. Everything was just pretend mode. And I kind of get back to that. Like, okay, I'm going to try this. And if it doesn't work, I can always go back, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a good thing about Norway. We got a security net and... We're not going to lose our healthcare and our house. We can actually play a bit more with life.
Yeah.
It's not that serious. So I guess that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like it ties in quite a bit with your experience working with special needs kids.
Yeah.
What are some of the other lessons you've taken from that experience that you use in your life? I guess I'm fishing for some...
Yeah.
More insights like that, because I think that's a powerful mindset, that the sort of the playful mindset.
Yeah.
It's light. It changes your approach.
Yeah. And when we have a calm, narrow system, is that a word in English? Narrow system? No, not even system.
You're closed off in a way, you mean? Or
Everything we take in can either make us more stressful or more calm.
Oh, and yeah. Your nervous system.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So. If you're in a calm state, you can also play. But if you're always stressed and always run really fast and never get to charge or take a rest, you will always be too stressed to actually play with life. So I guess that's what my son taught me and all these kids I met during my work, that we, as adults, always run a bit too fast to actually get to experience life, right? We're always ahead of ourselves, always... In the next week, next meeting, never really present because we're so occupied with the world and everything that's going on. And I think that was what my son taught me when we went to Nordkapp, that there's so many adventures all the time everywhere, like in this slug, in the sand and in the trees. And you feel like get more into your senses and... play a bit more. The world is actually a really cool and good place. There's a lot of going on as well and a lot of bad things happening, but yeah, it's a good reminder to like see all the beautiful stuff as well.
Yeah. When my kids are like, Daddy, play with us, or like, we're going to do this thing, even though I might have something I need to do, I said, no, I'm going to play with you guys, because I imagine myself in 10 years, I will dream about this moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will fantasize about, oh, how could I ever think that I would say no to playing with them in that moment? That seems like the dumbest decision I could ever make.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, I know my future self will think that.
Yeah, that's
so then
a good
in the
reminder.
Moment I can be like, bam, okay, I don't care if I'm stressed out about this, that, or the other. Let's play. I'm going to tickle you until you cry. Okay, here you go. Let's start with the foot tour from Oslo to the Nordkapp. First, explain what the Nordkapp is to people and how far away it is. We're in Oslo now, so.
Yeah, it's far. It's like going to Rome, I guess. It's so far north, you can't get any further. You just see the North Sea, and then it's the North Pole.
It's the northern end of Norway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they say if you put a pin in the southern Norway and swing it around, it will touch Rome.
Yeah.
So the part that's touching Rome, that was the reference,
was
the part you went to
from
you. Oslo. Yeah, yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's insane. We'll get back to the interview in just a moment. This episode of Zero to Travel is presented by the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. From muddy jungle paths and snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder has the capability to take you to some of the most epic destinations on Earth. We're excited to partner with Nissan because our listeners know we love to celebrate the joy of exploring the world and finding the best off the beaten path destinations to visit. And there's no better vehicle for that than the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. With 7 drive modes, the Pathfinder's available intelligent 4x4 is built for even the most epic journeys, and it even has the best towing capacity in its class, up to 6,000 pounds, so you can bring the fun with you. But Nissan also knows that it's not just about where you go. In a Pathfinder, the real fun comes from getting there, and that's something we love celebrating here on the Zero to Travel podcast. We believe that life is about finding that joy within the journey itself, and that's why we're thrilled to partner with Nissan to celebrate adventurers everywhere. So thanks again to Nissan for sponsoring this episode of Zero to Travel and for the reminder to chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures and enjoy the ride along the way. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. If you love coffee like me, let me tell you how you can get an incredible cup of coffee, whether you're at home or on the road. You can use what I use, which is the AeroPress. Have you seen this? This is a device that uses a patented 3-in-1 brew technology. It combines the flavor benefits of espresso, pour over, and French press into one compact, portable device built for travel or home. The AeroPress has over 55,000 five-star reviews in 60 countries, plus it's the best-reviewed coffee press on the planet. That tells you something, and it makes an incredible gift. Under 50 bucks. Get one for yourself or somebody you care about. Pick yours up at aeropress.com/zero to travel. That's AeroPress, AeroPress.com/zero to travel. Use the promo code zero to travel, all one word, to save 20% off your order. That's 20% off. Thank you to AeroPress for the delicious coffee and for supporting today's show. Now, back to the show. What led up to the trip? Because it sounded like you guys were in a place where the sense I got was that you were in a place where you felt like you needed a change, maybe personally, maybe the family dynamic.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously a lot of people listening to this is a theme of the show, I think, and the theme in people's lives. At some point you get
stagnant.
Something feels like it needs to change.
Mm.
And then you either do something about it or you just keep going and push through it, I guess.
Yeah.
You know? What were you guys up to? What was leading up to that point? Why did you get those feelings, do you think?
Yeah, I said something about it. Like, everything was so fast. And so we were doing everything right, kind of. But on
by societal standards,
yeah,
you mean?
Yeah, everybody
like
else's
air quotes, right?
Expectations. Yeah. we were doing the right thing. Getting a good job. At work, we were working really hard, getting better paychecks and running faster, and we got a kid, and we wanted to be the perfect dad and mom and the perfect parents, and we wanted to get a bigger house, and but every time I reached the next step, I didn't get any happier or more satisfied. I was just empty, kind of, because I was running so fast that I lost myself. And all the playfulness and the presence. So I said to my husband, we have to stop, right? It's going too fast. We have to take a break from everything. And he was like, but then I'm going to lose myself. Who am I if I don't do anything? If I don't get praised by my boss or get a big paycheck or, yeah. So it was a hard patch for us. But then the pandemic hit. And he was like, okay, society stops. And it's not that bad. We can actually breathe again. And the one place that always felt like home was the outdoors. When we went camping, we could actually be together, see each other, play. There was nothing to do, nothing to be compared for. Or we can just relax a bit and play with our son at his terms, not trying to getting to be a better version of himself all the time. After the pandemic, I kind of said to my husband, can we go on an adventure? But everything was closed. and he's this outdoorsy guy that always loved the outdoors. So I was like, okay, I read this book. This author is going in 6 different directions from Oslo. And I thought it was so cool that he walked from home. And I said to Ola, can we do that? Just start to walk and see how far we get. And he loved the idea. And then we started to ask our bosses if we can get a leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
like a sabbatical or like a break kind of. Yeah.
And they were fine with it. So we just made an appointment with them when we can get back. And they said, okay, come back at New Year's. And we were like, okay, let's do this. So so we rented our apartment out. Is that sublet? No.
Yeah.
And packed our bags and started walking from home.
Is home in the city here?
In Oslo. So out the door, up the river and into the forest. and we didn't stop.
Until you went to the Nordkap.
November.
But no, I mean, you had planned to go there, right?
We had a direction, and my husband said, we'll never reach Nordkap. And I was like, yeah, we will.
I love it.
Yeah.
How long did you plan?
1 year, maybe? Okay. From the dream to we actually went out the door.
Okay.
So we started dreaming when COVID hit, April 2020, and then we started to walk the 1st of March 2021.
And that involved, I guess, you know, figuring out the gear, mapping it out, kind of figuring out the seasons, when you were going to, like, all of the logistics, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if we had planned all of it, it would never happened.
Yeah.
So we kind of, like, broke it down to 1 week at a time.
Right.
Okay, we're just going to start. We've been to the forest outside Oslo before. We can do this.
Yeah.
We started home because then we have family around us that can help if we get stuck. And we did.
Yeah.
And then 1 week went okay. And then we just continued kind of.
You rented out your apartment. So did you have a backup plan?
Yeah. We were like, okay, we can always rent a cabin somewhere.
Okay.
Or
yeah.
borrow my parents' cabin and just chill if everybody hates this.
Yeah, right. Because you have a four-year-old with you. We should bring up again, which we're going to talk about. The idea of adventure right off your doorstep, I'm really attracted to that as well.
Yeah.
I think, of course, people listening might think, well, okay, you guys are in Norway and it sounds very exotic. But I do believe after talking to so many travelers and people that have walked around the world from their doorstep and walked back into the same door they left years later. I mean, the road outside of your house is the road to adventure, if you want it to be.
Yeah, The Hobbit.
It really is, I just find that really inspiring. That was one of the big things that I got inspired by about your book, because I know you guys just left from home. And I just wanted to kind of rant on that for a second, because I think it's worth acknowledging that you don't have to save $50,000 and buy an around-the-world ticket and all of this stuff. Perhaps there are ways to kickstart, like, the adventure of a lifetime from home. And I mean, you guys see ski, cycle, rowboat, by foot, canoe, sup, stand up paddle. I'm like, what's going on here? 2,043 kilometers. So, for a physical adventure like this, did you train for it? Were you worried about the physicality of it? Or were you just kind of like, did you have a lot of experience? Are you endurance athletes? I mean, how did you? Yeah. I'm just wondering, for somebody listening that is intrigued by human powered adventure, we can call this.
Yeah.
What your advice would be on, like, preparing for something like this.
Yeah. I think it's good to, like, feel safe enough in yourself and trust your own abilities. So I guess that's the main thing. So we went a lot outside and we tried this trip over 3 weeks, the summer of 2020, to see if we actually love being outside more than a week at a time.
Oh yeah, okay. So you spent 3 weeks outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to
walk on the same path or different?
It was south.
Okay, yeah, just something different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we liked it, but we also experienced that we had a bit too much to carry, so we had to have breaks each week. And not every third week. And that's also good for our kid, right? To get a break, do something else, go play in the local town and maybe buy some Legos and to mix it up a bit.
Yeah. What a great test run. 3 weeks sounds like a really nice chunk of time to feel it out.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's not a weekend. It's not like 5 days. You're like past the point where, like, all right, we're smelly, we're tired.
Yeah.
You know, should we keep going? So Mons, your son.
Yeah.
I mean, because of your background with special needs and psychology for children and all of that, I think this is an important place to start, actually, because from like a sort of mental health standpoint, let's say, people might be thinking, if they're playing an adventure with their family or whatever, like, do I want to put my kid through this? It might be the first kind of thoughts, right? Like, no judgment. I'm just saying, like, some of the fears that might come up of like, you know, is this something a four-year-old should do? You know, how physical is this going to be? Like, is it going to be good for them? You know, all those questions that you would ask as a parent, as you care about your child. Yeah, I'm just looking for some advice for somebody else that might, you know, be wanting to do an adventure with their children.
Yeah, I think it's a good place to start. We want our kids to be happy and have a good time, right? But I think at least in Norwegian society is really focused on being happy and smiling all the time and always be comfortable. But that's not the case for being happy in the long run.
Right.
Like if kids are a bit cold or a bit sad or a bit angry, that's okay. That's not... And they're going to be on this kind of...
Amen.
I think the main thing is that we as a parent are with them in their emotions and make sense of them for them. It's not a wonder that you're scared right now or that you're cold or that you're angry. You're in the middle of nowhere and it's freezing and we're going to get you warm. We're going to stay in this together, right? And find solutions together. But my main concern is if a kid stop playing, for instance.
Yeah.
If it's...
Because they don't have like a Leica Kamerad or like a playmate, we'd say.
Yeah. And if during time you can see that he changes or she changes behavior, she's not like she used to be. But so I was like monitoring Mons all the time. Like, are you okay? Are you having a good time? And not the... A four-year-old will have a bad time all the time. But like he was... who he used to be at home as well, as long as we did it on his terms. We mixed it up with all this different equipments to get to the North Cape. And we also had a lot of breaks. And we also, my husband's plan and my plan was to walk along the Swedish border because that's the shortest route. But Mons wanted to fish by the sea.
Oh, that's great.
So it was like, he was...
So that's why you went on the West Coast?
Yeah.
Like the entire other coast?
Yeah.
That's awesome. But
yeah,
obviously,
we made it all the way because we are a team, right?
Yeah.
And I think that what the outdoors can show us that we're not, and it's not the parents against the kid. We're in this together and we have to make it work together and we can be mad together, cold together, sad together, scared together, and we will find a way out of it.
Yeah, what did you do in the moments when you were scared, when you were worried, like, oh my gosh, this feels unsafe? Or, and there must have been some times where, you know, maybe...
Many times. The good thing is that Ulla and I get triggered by different stuff.
Okay, so you balance each other out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of us is usually irrational when the other is not.
You have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of us has to be.
So can you share like a story that illustrates that?
I'm scared of avalanches and muskox.
Muskox, got it. Okay, got it.
Running into one of them, muskox. Yes. So I was scared of running into a muskox all the time.
Yeah,
okay. But Ulla was not. He was calm. And then I'm walking along, swearing and stamping my skis. And he's like being a parent, telling the stories, keeping my son happy. Mm-hmm. And I can just rant along and being scared. And then I get a big hug from him and he can calm us down. And
yeah.
Take the lead, kind of be the adult that I can't be in that moment. And for him, it was like when we were bicycling along the roads, he got really scared or triggered by the huge trucks that come by.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I can be the parent and I can say, okay, let's take a break, let's cool down. We got control of this, they're not too close. We'll just bicycle out here. Like, one of us has to be the parent. And usually we don't hit the lows at the same time. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that got really clear during the time outside was that we have to like have extra energy to be calm and to play with our son. And that the extra energy I so willingly was giving away to work and giving away to everything in my daily life is actually really valuable to cope as a parent and be a good girlfriend or boyfriend, being present, being a good human being, I guess. Mm. And when I run really fast and don't have any extra energy, it's a loss for me and the world around me, kind of. And it's worth a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The communication, I guess, is key too. I mean, this kind of dynamic you're describing of one person sort of carrying the load in the moment, the emotional load perhaps, and the physical load perhaps, is important for couples without kids too, or travel mates or whatever, to kind of understand
the dynamics,
people's different fears and how somebody might want to step up in different situations. And sometimes that happens organically, but sometimes it's good to talk about too.
Yeah. And you kind of have to on this kind of trips, right? You can't get away. And we see each other all the time. And I thought always that I was the emotional one and Ola always was calm, but it's not. It just looks like it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right.
It's this like sturdy Norwegian Viking type. But inside he's like boiling, or he can be really shaky, but I have to look for the small things. And this trip kind of made me realize that he has the same needs as I do, and he also needs support and a big hug to calm himself down and a break sometimes. And
that's beautiful for your relationship to be able to embrace those sides and for him to feel comfortable showing them, and all around it sounds like really positive. I think it's a good thing for kids to see their parents having different emotions that they might have too. Yeah. But you're the expert, you tell me.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to think as a parent you're got to be the strong one all the time, but maybe it's okay to show that you're scared and you know, you can cry and all this stuff.
And in relationship to us, they get to know the emotions in a safe environment and they get used to them and they can see how we cope with them.
Yeah.
Like, now I need a break. Now I need to have a hug from dad. Now I need to just lie down for a bit. I'm exhausted and scared. It's not dangerous. I'm just scared because I'm tired. And translate what happens to him so he doesn't get uncomfortable or,
What did you do on a day when, as I think about when we come back from the city and my son doesn't want to walk up the hill to home, and then I have to carry him for a little bit, and I'm just like, okay, that times 2,043 kilometers? What do you do?
We got different tactics. The one is to carry him, but we can't do that all the time, right? So sometimes that I think actually works a lot of times is to just go with it. Go with the exhaustion and go with the anger, or go with the whatever he's in, like emotionally, like play along. Okay, it's really bad right now. Let's just lie down, and then we can lie down for 2 minutes and he gets validated for his experience, and then we can move on from there instead of trying to dragging along all the time. But sometimes it helps to put on a bit more playfulness. It can be boring, right? So be more playful and try to figure out how can this stretch become more fun? What can we look for? What can we talk about? Which stories can we tell? Could we play hide and seek on this path? Or red and green light? Have you heard about that one?
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, find your inner kid to motivate your own kid, kind of.
Yeah. I was just talking about this yesterday. It can be difficult to understand what the value of a trip is going to be before you take it, because you can easily see the things you're giving up, right? Like, we're giving up our comfortable apartment. We're giving up, you know, we're not going to be getting paid as much, or we're not going to make any money at all because we're quitting our jobs or whatever. But you can't really see the benefits of a trip until you get onto the other side. And I'm just curious, in your case, if you could just describe, so, you know, this is of course your personal experience, but I think it's a good way to kind of share how a trip can impact somebody. You guys went from kind of living this life where you felt like things were too fast and it was, you know, you weren't present and all this stuff, to making this decision. And so who you were, if you can think back and get in your shoes from the time you were, like maybe the day before you left or around that time period, to say, you know, a couple weeks after the trip, what changed? If I imagine things changed, I could say if anything at all, but
yeah,
with you personally and with the family dynamic and your son, everybody.
Yeah. For me, I think I trust myself more and the world more, and I feel more safe because I'm not that stressed all the time. So I get to play a bit more with my life.
Is that because of everything that you went through was difficult and now just like comparatively it's things are way easier than that kind of thing?
Yeah, or? I think it's more like inside nervous system and...
Like the nature got so deep in your nervous system that it's just staying with you kind of thing.
Yeah, and I also get like now we're in the middle of Oslo and the environment is kind of busy, but... Yeah. I try not to like tag along on that and try to like realize when I'm getting stressed and not, and try to find back to that calmness that I found in nature let's take one day at a time. We can't plan anything too far ahead anyways. The weather can change. We'll never know.
The experience is in your bones. It's not over.
No.
It's in your, it's in you.
It's in my system.
You carry it with you. Yeah.
I think it's the same for me and my husband. We kind of see our life in a different perspective, kind of, from why are we doing this and why is this important? And shouldn't we focus more on this that actually makes us happy instead of running so fast all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Can we say no more to things that doesn't make us happy? Or do we become selfish then? Or like, be around people that are inspiring and good for us instead of trying to get everybody's appreciation all the time.
Yeah, right.
Mm. And I think for my son, he got this confidence that's pretty awesome. At least when he struggles a bit at school or something, he's like, I walked all the way to Nordkamp.
Yeah, I mean, talk about bragging rights for life.
So it's like, yeah, it's in him. And you have a really compassionate...
That's great.
Yeah. Compassionate view on nature. We went with his class on this camping trip. And he was like, don't burn anything. Don't do that with the plants. They're alive. So he's like, he knows that everything around him has a value.
It's, yeah, right.
The trees are alive. We can touch them. We can, it's not just a thing.
Yeah. You have in the book the list of gear and all that stuff. We don't have to get too deep into the logistics, but I mean, you were traveling through all kinds of weather. I mean, you heard skiing by foot, cycling.
Yeah.
Was that a challenge from a perspective of what you need to bring?
Yeah.
Just kind of, you need to bring what you need to bring, right? You just have to get used to carrying it in some way.
Yeah.
Did you carry it all on your backs and then... Did you ship stuff ahead?
It was a little bit of both.
Okay.
Some of the gear we had all the time, but some of it we sent back with the mail, and other things we got our parents to come visit and play with us for a couple of times, and they went along on some
now,
of
what
the
did
stretches.
They say? Were they like, well, you guys, what? You're really doing this? Are you crazy? And then probably halfway through, they're like, this is awesome. I mean, what was it? Was that kind of, did I nail it?
Pretty much, yeah. My dad was like, oh, you're never going to survive more than 3 months. You're going to turn around.
Yay, thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Dad.
Just the vote of confidence you want from your parents.
Yeah. But my mom is really cheerful, and so was my parents-in-law. They were, I think it was kind of my father-in-law's dream to do something like this when he was younger.
Wow.
And he kind of was a bit worried because of work and stuff and what about money and all that.
Yeah.
But he also was rooting for us. So,
That's nice. We'll get back to the interview in just a moment. Here's a quick powerful exercise. If you think about one or two of your big goals and then you fast forward a few months from now, what can you do right now to give yourself the best chance of succeeding? If one of those goals for you is learning a new language or even just a little bit of a language to enhance your next trip, you should absolutely get Babbel. They have quick 10-minute lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts. You can actually start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations, exactly what you want as a traveler. I just downloaded it and went into the Norwegian course area thinking, oh, I've got this. Immediately made a bunch of grammar mistakes that they corrected. And I was like, oh, I've been doing this wrong. So I'm already leveling up and learning. And you can get Babbel now. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/zerototravel. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/zerototravel, spelled BABBEL.com/zerototravel. Rules and restrictions may apply. Thank you to Babbel for supporting today's show. Hey, Jason here. Did you know we have a free weekly newsletter over at zerototravel.com/newsletter? I put my heart and soul into this newsletter and love keeping in touch with listeners off the podcast. That's where you can find out about all of the latest and greatest events, trips we're planning, and of course, you're going to get money-saving travel tips, destination advice, all kinds of stuff to provide value and help you add more travel into your life. So why not sign up? Again, totally free, no cost at all. zerototravel.com/newsletter. Excited to welcome you into that community. Thanks for listening. Now, back to the show. The title, can you talk about the story? Because it seems like it ties in with a big moment in your life in some ways.
Yeah.
The title, you can pronounce it better than I can. So why don't you tell them the title of this book in Norwegian and what it means and what it means to you?
Yeah, it's Chiri Troll. Chiri is old pine trees in Norway.
Yeah.
And when they get old, they get really gray. And if you find some of it, you can smell it. It's such a good smell. Mm. And one of the first times I was outdoors with Ole, he was like showing me this weird stick. And I was like, okay, whatever. I don't care about nature. And he was like, smell it. And it kind of woken up my senses somehow. Like, oh, okay, this can also be an outdoors experience. You don't have to run fast or get to the top all the time or taking a selfie of you on the mountain to brag about. You can actually be present with your senses in nature. And I think that's the main thing he learned from his parents, that being outdoors is being present and being adventurous and being grounded somehow. And troll, so it's Chiri troll, troll. Yeah, that's a English word as well. So troll is, you know it. It's from the Norwegian fairy tales. Mm. And it's about, for me, is a being a outsider somehow from society, a little bit messy with your hair everywhere and not too clean. And somehow nature's taking us back. We're not just suited up and it's okay to be a bit dirty and
right.
Yeah.
It's stripping off the uniform of our daily societal uniform, I guess, or some ways. I don't know. Well, I mean, the connection with nature and Norwegians is a strong one.
Yeah, it is.
That's because you guys grow up being taught these values, I think, and getting out a lot.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the one thing where we actually can be ourselves and take up space, I guess.
Yeah.
And you can show emotions out there and you can be mad and you can swear and you can be yourself. But in society, we meet Janteloven and we have to get into the fold and take on the suit.
In one part of the book, it was you were saying when you had this moment where you smelled the
Tiri.
Yeah. And I think at that point you said the last time you slept under the stars, and this was maybe later in that trip or whatever, was when you were 14 on the trampoline or something.
Yeah.
And then you got kind of reintroduced to being in the outdoors by your husband in some ways, and you guys bond with that.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
How do you get through these dark winter months? Get outside?
And look for glimmers, I guess. Those small moments when you feel connected and happy. Like on the way down here, I was kicking up the leaves on the ground and trying to crush the ice that was on the ground. Like all these playful things I stopped doing when I was an adult or became too serious for life. I tried to find back to these small moments of connected happiness, kind of.
It sounds like that is your, that is the place you go when you start feeling disconnected. Not just nature, but playfulness. That's like a theme that keeps coming up. It sounds like that.
Yeah.
You go back to that if you feel like you need to get light again.
Yeah.
In your soul or in your mind, or is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a huge part of us, or not, I think, but also it's in the psychological literature that we often give up this state of playfulness because we want to make everyone else happy instead of ourselves. Mm. And this way of being in the world can actually help us a lot and be more creative and figure out stuff. And yeah, the trip taught me that I can't plan too long ahead. I have to like play with whatever comes my way, kind of.
Yeah, it was beautiful too to hear you describe that before and after that we talked about and kind of how you were feeling afterwards. And that is what it's all about, right? Like a trip that you can take that's meaningful to you, that can stay in your bones for your life.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah, it is.
That's massive. On the creative side, did you plan on writing a book when you... Did you know you were going to...
No. It was a dream, kind of.
Yeah.
And someone reached out to me on Instagram and was looking for some pictures to another book. And I was like, hey, I'm doing this trip. Should we write a book about it? And he was like, okay.
Sounds like a very Norwegian business deal. Okay, sure. Yeah, I guess. Did you get an advance or anything? Or
no. When I signed the contract and like had written it and sent him the draft, I got an advance.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean, what a gift that you have for your family. I mean, even if nobody bought the book, which isn't true because I bought this book and I know other people have. But I mean, you have this.
Yeah.
For your family.
Yeah. So it's meaningful to write.
So
for
cool.
Me. Yeah. And my son actually asked me yesterday if we can read it before he goes to bed. So that's cool. He wants to remember and go back.
That makes me tear up. And I love in the back that you have some of his drawings, which is great. Out of the modes of transportation, I was going to ask you, what did you like about the different modes of transportation? I mean, and I'm just curious because people that are listening, they might be considering, you know, the mode of transportation you choose to go on an adventure, whether it's 20 miles from your home or 2,000.
Yeah.
It impacts the experience
that
you have. And I'm just wondering what that experience on these different modes of transportation was like for you. What you enjoyed about them, disliked about some of them.
Yeah. We started out on skis because it was winter in Norway.
And you're Norwegian.
Yeah. And we headed up in the mountains. So that was good.
Everybody can ski like a world-class skier here.
You know? I'm mostly a snowboarder, so I'm not that good. But one step at a time. The good thing about skis and this sled we have is that our kid can sit in it and take breaks.
Yeah, you're pulling the sled and the gear with him in it.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's good. And also it was an amazing experience walking on snow and see all the tracks from the animals. And yeah, it's a quiet, beautiful world out there when it's all white and shiny. And then we bicycled for a bit along the coast. I think that's maybe for me the less better or not as good. Because of all the traffic and noise, and you don't get that calmness. I think it's a bit too fast to get present, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was fun to like mix it up, and our son can bicycle for a bit with his own bike, and then he could sit in the back on this trolley. So it was good to mix it up. But the uphill was really hard. It's going fast. On wheels, but then you have to drag all this luggage up the steep hills on the Norwegian coast. It was pretty heavy. And then it was the stand-up paddleboard.
Yeah, that one threw me for a loop. I wasn't expecting that. Did you have wetsuits on? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's pretty cold.
Yeah, because if you fall in, you're going to be in serious trouble if you don't.
Yeah. I mean, it was during summertime in Norway, but it's
even
not.
Still.
Yeah. It's like 12 Celsius max in the water. Yeah, so wetsuits, and we also like called the local fishermen and was like, hey, can you follow us over this patch where it's a bit too hard and too open seas? And they got us over. And some days it was too windy to paddle.
And then what do you do? Just hang out at camp?
Yeah. So the weather kind of made us take breaks. And it was good. And I think that was our son. Favorite part, because he can like lie on his stomach and look down in the water, and the water on the Norwegian coast is so beautiful. I thought I had to go to like Mexico or Brazil or something to experience that. It's colder, but it's really beautiful. I can see all these sea animals and otters and seals, and the midnight sun was such a great experience. Yeah. So I think the stand-up paddleboard, it's not efficient, but it's like playful and present and calm. Yeah, it was fun.
Do you feel more connected to your country?
Yeah, yeah. I really do.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of it. I was more excited about the great... yeah, I wanted to go abroad and see like all these different countries. I wasn't that interested in Norway.
It's pretty common to be more looking outward as a traveler, right? You want to explore the world, but yeah.
So it was
Because you did choose to stay here, you know. I guess that was partly because
pandemic.
Of, yeah.
My plan was to go to South America, but we couldn't do that because of COVID.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy that we actually had to explore our own backyard.
Yeah. And what's your takeaway? How would you describe Norway to somebody listening?
It's wild and colorful. I love that the mountains go straight into the sea, and there's really alpine. And I love the lights, especially when we shift into the dark season up north. We get you just kind of walking this sunset just lasts forever. And then it get dark, but it lasts, I don't know, a second. And then you get all the northern lights and all the stars. So it's like nature has this performance all the time. It's so cool.
Showing off.
Yeah.
The people, did you find that? It's your relationship with your fellow country folk changed? Were you able to connect on a deeper level because you were...
Yeah.
Do you think that was because you were doing something so outrageous that people just had to open up? Or were you just in a traveler's mindset? Was it a mindset thing on your end or maybe a combination of both?
Yeah, maybe both. I think as we've been talking about, Norwegians are more open when they're outdoors.
Yeah.
If you meet them in the forest, they're like, hello, do you want to
buy a chocolate? That's when they say hi to you.
Yeah.
Not at the mall.
No. And not the bus or anything. But yeah, out there, they're outgoing and they're curious. And I think also in northern Norway, they have more hospitality and they're more concerned about each other. They're not that busy.
Kind of checking in on you, like, you guys okay?
Yeah.
You know, need anything? Did anybody take you in for a meal or anything
all
like
the
that?
Time.
All the time, really? Yeah. That sounds, that's great to hear because, you know, as you were describing Norwegians earlier, I don't think people would think that.
No, I think it's the benefit of walking slow or traveling slow that you actually get to meet people. You're not just driving past or by them. They get curious because you go with this backpack and all this gear. And they invite you in and they ask you if you want to borrow their cabin. We got to borrow a car to go to the mall. Like,
wow.
They were
that's
awesome.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
People are awesome, huh?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
This kind of trip that you've taken, like, there's so much, it's compelling to other people, first of all, because you're passing through an area where they're living their daily life. And you have this story, and there's a lot of there's a lot of energy to a trip like this that radiates, I think, where, you know, you're not, people know you're not a threat. Like, you're just walking through, and then you tell them you're on this adventure, and then they want to help. They want to support it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm just noting that because for anybody that's considering their version of this, it carries a lot of positive energy with it and opens a lot of things up. I feel when you have some kind of mission like this where you're living in the present moment, but you have a greater kind of story that you're pursuing, a greater quest, let's say.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
Yeah.
It's a powerful connecting tool.
Yeah, it really is. And I think it was the same in the US and in Scotland last summer. When you just walk along, people get curious and they want to talk to you.
Wait, what happened in Scotland?
We crossed the Isle of Skye.
You did? Okay. Yeah.
By foot.
How long does that take?
A couple of weeks.
Okay.
1 week, 2 weeks. Yeah.
Because you can wild camp there. So you just camp wherever kind of thing.
Yeah. It's the same as Norway. You can wild camp anywhere as long as you're off private ground.
Right.
And we settled on this beach and this Scottish guy came over to us and was like, "What are you doing here? Where are you coming from?" He was a bit skeptical. He thought we were going to take his favorite beach. And then he figured out that we were walking and was like, "Whoa, that's awesome." And he ran up to his house and grabbed beers and nectarines and oranges and gave it to us. And he was so... so friendly. Yeah.
So yeah, you're having these experiences around the world now.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I think about going back to the PCT, the Pacific Crest Trail in America, and comparing it to this, I know there's a lot of culture around the long distance trails in America, and it's different. Of course, every culture is different. I'm wondering how, outside of the nature, which you saw, that's totally different, how did you find culturally the differences doing these types of adventures in different countries? You know what I mean? Like, you're familiar with their home culture, so there's a familiarity, but was there some, did you see some dramatic differences? It was just the difference in sort of people, but yeah.
I think the main thing is that there's more connecting us than separating us, and it's easier to see when you travel slow and are out in nature and get to talk to people. They're really friendly, even if you don't have the same political views, or you're so, in so many ways, so different. You're also very alike. And in the US also, people helped us and gave us beers and sodas and wanted to talk to us. And they were so concerned about how everyone else was treating us. Are you okay? Have everyone been nice to you?
Yeah. Our country folk better be, representing us well. Well, it's funny because I do say that too when people go to America. Was everybody nice? Were they good?
Yeah.
They better have been good to you.
Yeah.
You want to show people a good time in a way, even though they're walking across an entire stretch of your country or whatever. You still want them to have a good experience.
Yeah. We got all these agates.
Yeah.
Have you heard about that?
No.
This jewel you find in the sand along the Oregon and California coast.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They were sitting on the beach looking for these agates, and they were giving us all these really nice stones.
Wow.
And this random guy came over and gave me a couple of earrings to remember the Oregon coast. Thank you.
That's so
cool. I love
you.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So what's next? What are you guys thinking?
We kind of have this philosophy that our kid get to settle a bit before we're dragging out again.
Okay,
so I guess the next year will be mostly local, maybe a summer holiday up north again. I miss the north of Norway. And then we're planning or dreaming about taking a new adventure in 2025, maybe.
Any ideas where that might be?
I don't know. Greenland, Iceland.
Okay.
Yeah. Finland, maybe.
Keeping it cold.
Yeah. We're not that good heat.
Yeah.
We get thirsty and sweaty all the time.
Congratulations on pursuing, on the book and all of these adventures and everything, but also just on pursuing your passion for writing and becoming essentially an adventure travel writer, you were talking about today.
So,
I just wanted to point out for anybody listening, I just find it inspiring when people like they want to do a thing, and then like to do the thing, you actually have to just do the thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like
yeah.
you just actually,
yeah.
you weren't an adventure travel writer before,
nope.
but you planned an adventure. You went on an adventure and you wrote about it.
Yeah.
Now you're an adventure travel writer. I mean, that's kind of like, it sounds simplistic, but yeah. at the same time,
yeah.
I find it inspiring because you can be like, oh, okay. Like I could do X, Y, or Z version of that too. Mm-hmm. You just yeah. have to go do the thing.
Do it.
And be it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I feel like there is always a level of like kind of fake it till you make. I'm sure you're not, you know, feeling confident about this all the time in
nope,
a way like everybody
not at
else.
All.
But yeah, but that's I'm bringing that up because I think it's reassuring.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've been doing this podcast for a long time now and still I'm like, is this going well? I mean, it's always something.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. What would be your advice for anybody listening that is considering a change in life and it may involve travel, I'm guessing, if
yeah.
somebody's listening.
Yeah. I think from our experience, it's a good thing to just set a date and say it out loud, that dream.
Yeah.
If you say it out loud and you have a date, you kind of commit it to yourself mm-hmm. and then the dream becomes a plan really quick. And maybe not don't work out all the details, just the main lines, and then you'll figure it along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Be open. People will help you. The world is a safe and good place, mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's my main take. Just say it out loud and commit.
Great practical advice, and it works, apparently. And I think after this, I'm going to have to pick your brain a little bit on some of these adventures you took in Norway, just so I can maybe I need to set a date for my own.
Yay!
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you planning on? What are you dreaming about?
Oh, I've got so many things I
yeah?
want to do. I am in the fortunate yet unfortunate position of hearing about all of these adventures from all these people.
Yeah.
And wanting to do all of them. Oh. And, you know, yeah, you just get like shiny object syndrome. Like, well, maybe I'll just sell this. I'm like, no, actually, I should just pick one now.
Can you give me one as well?
Yeah, I have one.
Yeah.
We can talk about that. I heard about recently from a recent guest. It's a biking trip
Ooh.
In down the Danube, and it's all flat for 200 miles to Vienna. That sounds pretty cool. So that's the one I'm thinking about right now because it sounds like a good, easy kind of family adventure in a way.
Yeah.
But, you know, Norway's right here. Like we said, there's adventure right out of your doorstep. So I have thought about doing the Pilgrimsleden, the
St.
Olav's ways, one of those at some point, but that's a little, yeah, I don't know. So many things, you know, I really just need to pick one and get out there.
Yeah.
So you inspired me. There were 3 weeks test. I think that's a good, like if we spend like a good 2 or 3 weeks doing a thing, I think it will be really great for the family. And I think it will be really fulfilling from an adventure kind of. Like I'm craving, got that feeling now. Kids are a bit older, it becomes a bit easier, I feel, to like start to, all right, let's, you know.
Yeah. And you can always turn around, right?
You can always turn around mm-hmm. and get a warm hotel or whatever. Cool. Well, thank you so much for taking your time to come out and chat with me today. And you want to let people know where they can find you on Instagram. I know it's in Norwegian, but the translation things on the internet work really well.
Yeah.
That's good. We can link up to all of that stuff, of course, in the show notes. But maybe if people want to message you or.
Yeah, reach out. I would be happy to answer. And I can answer in English and you can talk to me in English.
Yeah.
And,
what's your Instagram?
Tiri Troll.
Yep. Okay.
You want to spell that for me?
No, we'll drop it in the show notes. But it's, T Y R I T R O L L.
Yeah.
And then you can, get some visuals on the adventures and stuff too. And we'll snap a photo after this. So you guys, if you want to see us hanging out at this coffee shop with the sushi conveyor belt next to us, then you can check that out on Zero to Travel. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
What
it was
a pleasure.
Great.
I hope we can stay in touch and
keep
trading notes here.
Yeah, let's play with those notes.
All right, take care. High five it out.
Nope.
Thank you.
Bye.
There you have it. Massive thanks to Ingrid for taking the time out of her day to meet up in person. Always such a pleasure to bring a conversation like this to you. And I'm telling you, as soon as I found her book, I was just so inspired by the journey. Knew I had to chat with her, and I'm glad she took the time to set it up. And I'm just wondering how this is hitting you. if any of the sort of overarching themes and messages you heard today, just around making big changes in life and things like that, how it ties in with travel. I'm not sure where it's at with you right now, but I would love to hear from you. I always invite listeners to get in touch because this is, after all, a community-powered show. So if you haven't gotten in touch, leave me a message, drop me a line, jason@zerototravel.com. Let me know how you're doing. You can always suggest a guest or a topic you want me to cover. This is a two-way conversation, after all. And you can sign up for the newsletter if you haven't done that. It's free, zerototravel.com/newsletter. Let me share a couple things before I let you go. I'm going to leave you with a quote, of course. And this powerful reframe, reframing the way you're thinking about something. I said this at the top. If you're struggling to put yourself out there in some way, whether it's, you know, business you want to start, you want to start a podcast like this or whatever it is. Ingrid mentioned it, and I always lean on this, and I leaned on this quite a bit in the beginning when I started my podcast, because you can, I don't know if you can, but I can get self-conscious about putting your ideas and your thoughts and yourself out there, basically. But she said this in the interview, and I thought this was a powerful reminder and a powerful reframe for anybody that's struggling with something like this, is just that idea that, quote, not sharing your art is selfish. Somebody told her that. Not sharing your art is selfish. And when I say your art, it doesn't have to be a painting. You can talk about your business as an art, or, you know, your life as an art, however you want to interpret that. But if you have a perspective and you're expressing it through some medium, sharing it means others can benefit from that as well. You can make an impact. And, you know, saying it's selfish to not share it is maybe a little bit extreme. But that's why I wanted to pull that one out. You know, I write songs and I keep them to myself and I'm not sharing them. And I'm okay with that. I'm working on my craft secretly, you know. that's my thing. I don't share everything I do. I'm not somebody who shares everything on social media. Whatever, that's okay. But I share some things. I share ideas like this on the podcast because, you know, however you feel about this, and not to get too meta here, but however you feel about this rant right now about sharing your art, not sharing it, being selfish, perhaps by sharing this idea, it's going to benefit somebody out there listening right now and maybe give them the courage to share something they've been sitting on. I never would have started this podcast without that as a reminder. I didn't really have it framed that way. I had it more like, if I don't share this, that means other people aren't able to get the value. The longer I wait to start this, the longer it will be that people will be able to get value from this. And here it is, you know, 11 years later, I'm still doing it. But it was very hard in the beginning to put it out in that way. And I had to keep reminding myself that was the thing. It was you, it was the listeners. It was the idea that it can make an impact. And that actually took the pressure off of myself and just put the focus on, okay, let me just try to create some value here and share this. And maybe other people will find this to be valuable. And so I just wanted to share that if you're struggling and you want to put something out there that you think can provide value to others, take the pressure off yourself and just think about others. And by not sharing it, they're not able to get the value until you share it. So just wanted to share that. I think I just said share a lot in those last 90 seconds, but you get the idea. Okay, let me leave you with a quote to wrap this one up from John Muir, who said, "In every walk with nature, one receives far more than he seeks." Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time. Peace and love to you and yours. Cheers.
This podcast has been brought to you by ZeroToTravel.com. Ideas and advice to make your travel dreams a reality.